My name is Elizabeth Dillenberg, and I'm an assistant professor of history at The Ohio State University at Newark. Today, I'll be talking with Sushree Sangeeta Puhan about her research on adoptive family practices in contemporary India. Sushree, before we talk more about your research, I was wondering if we could begin with you telling us a little bit about yourself and how you came to this topic.
Okay. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. And it is really a pleasure talking to you. So myself, Sushree Sangeeta Puhan, and currently a doctoral researcher at the University of Sussex, England. And prior to that, I worked as a development practitioner in India for close to 10 years, particularly in the field of child rights and child protection. And in 2015, I rejoined university to pursue my second master's degree on childhood and youth studies at the University of Sussex. And for that, I received the prestigious scholarship, Stevening Scholarship, a fully funded scholarship from the UK government. So I chose to pursue a master program after 10 years of my work experience to develop a theoretical understanding and the political and ethical claim on childhood and youth that informed the policy and practice, because my practical experience was not giving me that. So in that time, there were no such specific academic programs available in India, and there are some capsule courses were there. So my long-term plan behind the master's degree was to pursue PhD. But however, the topic adoption was not quite prominent in my mind during that time. So as a practitioner, I have worked very briefly on child protection, child adoption in 2014 and 15 period. And that too also at the policy implementation level, where the umbrella scheme of Integrated Child Protection Scheme of Government of India, which is used where adoption is one of the child protection measures for children out of parental care. So I worked at the policy implementation level. And during my experience, my field experience was not very encouraging, although it was not related to family practice, but it is related to the adoption as a program. So then soon after I joined university, and during my master program, I tried to look for literature to understand about adoption in Indian context. And there I experienced there is a dearth of research and literature on the subject in Indian context. So then I decided to study the subject and plan for PhD. So fortunately, I was also awarded the Chancellor's International Research Scholarship, which is again a fully funded scholarship to carry out this research. So this is a kind of background, you can say.
It's really interesting. That's a really interesting journey to coming to work on this. Now, adoptive family life in contemporary India is a topic that has not received a lot of attention. Why do you think this topic is largely silent in the Indian context?
I didn't know the topic was silent until I ventured into it academically. What we normally see in news or in media over last a few years, so there is an increased trend of adoption practice in India. And besides that, there are other stories like child trafficking, abandoned children, or children are being sold out. So these stories are there, but the trend of adoption, increasing trend of adoption is very much there. But the increasing statistics initially gave me an impression that it might not be a silent topic. Since I didn't have anyone in my immediate sphere, probably that time I was not aware of it that the topic is not silent. However, in my experience as a researcher, changed my perception that the increased number does not really translate in words and actions in a practice. So it is largely silent because of the social environment and cultural belief that does not give the adopted child the same status as a biological child. That is what I learned from my research. And similarly for the adoptive parents, not equal status as a biological parent. So, and if you see that the law has equalized this, the adopted child is equal to biological child. Irrespective of the law, there is a cultural and social belief which influenced this practice. And besides that, there is also the stereotypical image of adoption that is built largely by media. When I say media, it is television shows and movies. So what my findings say that people find it difficult to accept an adopted child living a kind of decent average life like any other children in any conventional family, or and parents, adoptive parents loving their adopted children like any other parents love their children. So that is, people find it little difficult to accept. That's the data says. And the moment a person says, I am adopted or my child is adopted, people's reaction changed. So they don't accept it easily. So they say, no, it cannot be. So parents must have, the people's reaction is your parents must have lied to you or they might be joking. So it is basically the public perception which does not accept the adopted child equal to a biological child. That is one of the main reasons why the topic is silent. And there is another reason is that because of the people's reaction, it invokes a sense of discomfort and stigmatization in the person. So it is like adopted people think probably I'm a different person. And besides that, there is another reason, and that is exclusively in the context of India, is the social inequalities based on caste, skin color, absence of blood ties, religion, that makes adopted people even more vulnerable. That's why the topic is largely silent,
That's really interesting, yes. And so I was wondering, because there is, in a sense, this silence, and for the various reasons that you raised, sometimes even the stigma surrounding adoption, I was wondering if you could describe your research process a little more, and specifically, how do you contact and get in touch with the participants in your research? I imagine it's quite challenging to do so with this topic.
Yes, you are right. It was very, very challenging. And it was interesting as well. I initially was very optimistic that finding sample would not be very difficult. As I said, my perception was built on the increased trend of adoption. Also, as I worked in this, on the sector of children, child protection, child rights sector, so I thought I would use my contacts to access the research participants. However, my ethical process, the research ethical process, research ethics does not permit me to contact the participants directly. So my plan was to do the research exclusively with the young adult adopted people, those who are 18 plus. That was my first plan. But then I developed a backup plan in case I don't get the adequate number of participants. So if I don't get adequate number of participants, I thought I would include adoptive parents and adoption professionals as well. Those are social workers. So I first focused on the state called Odisha. It is the eastern part of India. Because it is my home state, I worked in that state. I have good professional contacts and I know the local language as well. So these are the criteria why I thought I would work, my research would be focused on that state. However, when I was there for the field work for data collection, my perception changed completely. It was not easy at all for me to get any kind of contact. So I thought to use social media as a platform to invite participants who are interested to share their stories. So I created a Facebook page and floated the advertisement on WhatsApp and shared it with friends and colleagues. So the response I received through Facebook was very encouraging and very positive response. So people started responding quite smoothly. They started contacting me. Some were interested to know about the research, the process, and some were interested to participate. So the large part of my research participants are recruited through social media. And then some of them connected through another participant or through my friends. But this is very, that segment is very, very little. So my sample comprises young adult adopted people at the age group of 18 to 24 then, before 2 years, adoptive parents, then once adopted and now adoptive parents, whom I say is adoptee come adoptive parents, single unmarried adoptive mother, and the families with biological and adopted children and only adopted children. So this is a kind of the sample is it's a large different kind of people. It comprises a different kind of participant and also social workers. So however, the participants are largely women. Out of total, my 18 participants, including the adoptive parents, children, and, when I say children, they're adopted as children, and social worker, that out of 18 participants, I have only three, they are male participants, two are fathers and one is a social worker. And otherwise, it is mostly a female kind of, my participants are mostly women participants. And the families also comprises from different religion. And so I just would like to, highlight here, religion was never my criteria. It is just emerged as I collected my data and later I tried to find out, put it in a different part. So religion also came out as one of the criteria, as one of the areas. Where, because it's a Hindu-dominated country, although it's a multi-faith, country, there are people from different religions are there, but majority are Hindu. But my limited sample has a Hindu, Muslim, and Christian, and person, and different religion people are also there. So it gives a sense that the people of different religion are also practicing adoption. And the participant, my sample collection process continued from started from one state, and now it is from five different states, from east, west, and southern part of India. So it was never an easy journey, but yeah, I managed to go through different processes and collected the data, yes.
That's really fascinating how you use social media and how the project has grown. So you spoke a little bit about the challenge in just getting in touch with research participants, but I was wondering if you could talk perhaps a little bit more about how you get people to actually talk about the topic of adoption and to share their experiences about an issue that is largely unspoken.
Well, when you're talking about the largely unspoken, I just want to, give you a little bit of idea. Based on my experience, what I found, the topic is unspoken, but the graph of unspoken, that the gravity of unspoken is, it varies across different region of India. Okay, so if I find people don't talk much about that adoption, or that adoption is largely silent in eastern part of India. Comparatively, it is better spoken in western and southern part of India. So it is not, in the blanket silent topic across the country. So my research participants are the people who volunteered to share their stories with me. It is not I approached them to share. So they are the one who chose me to share their stories. So it was an open invitation. Those who feel free to talk about their adoption journey, adoption experiences, they can contact. That is the main difference. So I didn't approach them directly to talk about it. So you can say they are the pioneers in adoption and adoptive family practice in India, who not only just vocal with the researcher, that is me, rather they are open about their experiences otherwise as well. So the format I use was quite open and semi-structured. So it was a free-flow narrative approach where I wanted them to share their stories, they feel comfortable, and what they want me, an outsider, to know about them. Okay, how would they like to know somebody who doesn't know them about that story? So it is basically, particularly this approach I adopted people and adoptive parents. It is not my approach was a little different for social workers. So my inquiry was very limited in that case. So I just listened to the story, what they wanted to share. So what they share seemed to me that they find it important for me to know. So that's what they shared. And I was also aware about the sensitivity of the topic. So I tried not to push my agenda to access any information. So, honestly, I also did not find the need to push the agenda because it was not required in most of the cases because they were very vocal and they're very, very open about their experiences. So where I felt that people are speaking a little restrictively, I didn't push it hard. It was the approach especially for adopted people and adoptive parents with social workers. It was semi-structured, but I had a specific set of questions to ask. So there, you could see that I had different approaches how to talk to people and how to make them, share their experiences. So it was very much their stories. They chose me to listen to their stories.
Okay. Yeah, that's really interesting. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the experiences of those in adoptive families, and specifically, perhaps what similarities and differences do you see in how adopted people and adoptive parents, how they perceive adoption and any differences in their experiences?
Okay. The adoptive families I spoke to are largely from urban India. When I say urban India, it is the metro cities and tier two cities. And they're highly educated, professionally well-established, and most of them have international exposures as well, except one family. So in case of adopted people, my sample size, I have three young adult adopted people. All are working, all are educated, some are continuing the school. One is working as an independent, working and he's an independent working woman. However, each one has a different journey. That's what I gathered from the data. There is no single pattern. I don't find any single pattern of lives of those in the adopted families, particularly in the context of adopted children. But yes, people experience certain kind of stigmatization in different period in their life. And that happens both for adopted children and adoptive parents, but directly, more directly for in the case of adopted children. So that kind of experience, which have made them feel uncomfortable at certain point in the time. So that is where they chose their strategy, how to deal with that. I'll come to that in a little later. And that experience is also very, very direct for adopted children. And sometimes they share it with their parents and sometimes they handle it by themselves. So, and in case of adoptive family, adopted children in the family context, there is a parallel narrative travels parallel narrative flows in the family context. When I say parallel narratives, what do I mean by that? For an example, I would like to share a case study over here. One of my participants, she shared, she is adored and loved by her grandparents. However, when she was a child, she overheard that her grandparents talking in the kitchen that she is someone Shudra. They indicated her as a Shudra, and a Shudra is a typical in the context of India. It is they're the lowest caste community in the social structure of the caste system in India. So if anybody is indicating someone as Shudra, it's like a derogatory comment. So when the child learned, when my participant, she was a child then, when she learned about the meaning of this term, she felt very upset that her grandparents, who she feels they adore her, probably don't do that in reality. But she struggled with that feelings throughout life, you know, now 25, 26 years. So that kind of sentiment and the feelings and discomfort, it stays with people for a longer period of time. And it does not happen at a particular time. It unfolds over the year. So that is one of the stories, one of the case studies about the adopted child. In case of adoptive parents also, although the experience of stigmatization is not very direct, but it is very subtle. So one of my parent participant, my mother, she said, she felt when she brought her daughter home through adoption, she could feel that some of her relatives are holding back. They were not as warm they would have been if she had her biological child. So these are very, very short and small anecdotes. But this is the kind of experience people go through. But that is one part of it. Then second, we're coming to the openness about the communication, about the adoption communication. The openness of adoption or an adopted person is shaped, shaped by the environment they are part of. For example, one of my participants is very vocal about her adoptive status. Wherever she goes, she shares about who am I? I'm an adopted person. Because she says it comes to me automatically because I don't resemble with my parents. So whenever people meet my parents and say, okay, she does not look like you. So I voluntarily say that I'm adopted. And it is not before people asking also, she shares it that. So people, it's the people. At the first, listening it for the first time, people don't believe it easily. She belongs to a very well-off family, lead a good life, and independent in her thinking, and she's given all kind of comforts like anybody, any children in her surrounding, and those who are not adopted. So people discard the adoptive status at the first go. That they say, no, you cannot be an adopted child. So people have a specific picture in mind how an adopted child should be. So that makes an adopted people feel different. Okay. So, and that is the openness. And about openness about the adoption communication, people have a different strategy. The another person, she is very, neat. No basis sharing. See, just the people, if feel the comfortable, people will accept my adoptive status, then only she goes and she shares. Still, that is a kind of discard people don't accept because she resembles resembles with her father, with her adoptive father in terms of complexes or so, skin color. So, people have different kind of challenges. So another participant of mine, she said, she does not share her adoptive status with anyone. If people ask, she says, no, I am not adopted. But she gave her consent to talk to me. That is something different. She said, I am talking to you. My parents know, my relatives know. But in school, when I was in school, somebody asked me and I said, no, I am not adopted. So people use different mechanism to talk about their adoptive identity. So in case of adoptive parents, although they are quite open about their adoptive experience, however, the sharing about their adoptive family identity They do it in the need to know basis where there is a requirement. There only they disclose it. So in these families, there is an openness in communication. However, not much, they don't talk much about the birth family part. One thing is that adoptive parents have no access to birth family information in India, because in India, adoption is a closed practice where you don't know, either adoptive parents or adoptive family, they don't have any access about the biological information. Neither the birth family would ever get to know who the adoptive parents are. But there is a root search provision that's introduced a few years before. I'll come to that in later part of that. But there is, when people don't talk much about the birth family information, but there is an inquisitiveness among adopted children, again, not all adopted children, to know about their birth history. And what happened in that case? Some parents don't entertain it. They say, there is no point to talk about it, or, such information is not available. So communication around the birth parent is not very comfortable in the adoptive family. So that is one of the distinct, findings I get. But there is also an exception case where an adoptive mother, I find that she has developed a kind of very open communication system, open communication strategy with her adopted child, and talk about the birth mother of the child. Although there is no information, but an image, a positive image about the birth mother has been built by the adoptive mother. But because according to her, the child is very interested. He comes up always with question to know about the birth mother. So instead of avoiding to answer the question, there is no information available, she tried to build a positive picture with a sense of assurance that when you will be an 18-year-old, you could access to the root search provision, and I'll accompany that. But that is a very unique experience about adoptive parents building image about the birth parents. So majority of them, they don't find it very comfortable, particularly the adult adopted children's parents. So it is quite difficult in that part. Then coming to the only one case I have, which is like an unmarried single mother. For them, it is really a tricky journey. It is not the process of adoption for an unmarried woman to become a mother through adoption. It is not an easy job in India, as per my data says. First, there is a structural inequalities, like people suddenly ask, why do you want to adopt? Why don't you get married? Are you sure you want to adopt? So there is a lot of question, because even if the law permits unmarried woman to become a mother or parent through adoption, but that does not simply lead to formation or to form a new family practice, where sociocultural norms define the formation of family is possible only through the only through marriage, and that is also heterosexual marriage. So that the child grew up in a single parent family, often questioned about her father. So it is not a challenge for the single woman, than unmarried woman, because it's the people question, even if when she goes to the adoption agencies or the system, they are also serious question. The people, those who are in a policy implementers and labor, whose work is to support them, because there is a provision, there is a law allows, and you have to support. There also, they suggest you have to rethink about your decision. So there is a structural inequalities of the single woman face if she wants to adopt a child. So for them, it is really difficult as per the information I got. So that is the kind of practice, yes.
That's really fascinating. Thanks so much for sharing some of those stories. So one thing that seems to have come up a little bit, and I was wondering if you could perhaps talk more about it, but in many ways that people's personal experiences contrast with narratives that circulate more broadly in public about adoption. And I was wondering if you could talk more about what you see as the contrast, perhaps, in the experiences that people actually have in adoption and those that are perhaps seen in films and television and in the public more broadly.
One thing is that the general public's understanding about adoption is shaped by television and movies, where adopted people and adoptive parents, they're portrayed as somebody who is different and negatively different, which not a happy child, which not enjoying the life, which probably a wrecker, or, you know, that kind of image. So general public understanding, when I say general public understanding, I also consider myself as a general public, because my understanding was also there like that earlier, much before coming to the research. So people say that my participant, why don't you share the status, adopted status? They said, no, people don't accept it because people's understanding is built by the television shows and movies, which is completely different than the real life experiences. So it is their narrative, it's different. And I, as a researcher, find that the narrative is definitely different. The information and the image built by, the media, it's not from the real life experiences. So that is a lack of information sources, how the image is built. Okay. So because there is no real life experiences, so people have a different kind of image about the adopted people and adoptive parents. And that is quite different. That is quite different than the real life experiences. And the real life experiences, that they are like, at least at the parent and children level, there is no such kind of differentiation feeling, because adoptive parents are very, I would not say protective, but very progressive in way of thinking. They ensure that children's safety because they acknowledge that socio-cultural stigma, and they ensure always children's safety, at least, till the time the children need that support. So, and they have absolutely the same kind of people and children as like other children, those who come from a conventional family where they are not adopted. One thing is that the image building makes it quite a lot of difference, because people find it difficult to accept because people have a different picture in their mind. That is one thing. Second thing is that people... also, because people have a different kind of image, and they find it, they don't accept it, and that is why how the stigmatization experience people face. The adoptive people and adoptive parents, they develop their own defensive mechanism to deal with the challenges they face in their everyday family life. Those are the people, the participants, those who spoke to me. They are basically, you can say, they're not only vocal with me, they're vocal with others also. And they know, they have developed their mechanism, how to deal if they face any kind of challenges. Like sometimes they just ignore, they don't want to respond. Or sometimes they find it important to sit down and talk with people, educate them. Look, there are different ways families are formed now. So adoption is one of the ways to forming a family. So they don't do with everybody. I would not say they do it with everyone, but with whom they feel it comfortable or they feel it is important, because whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a family friend, so there are different approaches. And some people also confront and resist the stigma and challenges. So this is something which is not portrayed in media, which is not, which is not portrayed any kind of platform. So there is a lack of structured platform to share the real life stories. That's how when all the participants spoke to me, they say, we are talking about, because we are vocal about the experience, but for the first time, we're talking with someone who is doing a research, and we are sharing our life story in a very structured format. So what I find, there is a small, in social media, in I think in Facebook pages, there is some pages, forums for adoptive parents or prospective adoptive parents, where they counsel each other, they share their information about their experiences, and they support each other. This is support group, you can say. So that is a very organic way of forming, and it is initiated by adoptive parents. That is, but at the large level, there is no such structured forum, and I have not come across any such forum initiated or participated by adopted people. So the voice we are hearing largely are adoptive parents' voice, and not very much of adopted children's voice or adopted individuals' voice. Even if the parent with whom I spoke to, those who were adopted as children, their perspective is very much like a parent's perspective, not a children, as an adopted child perspective. Yes. I hope I answered your question.
You did, yes. And I mean, I think that, so I see your work as being really important in challenging those perceptions. And so I was wondering, though, if you could talk a little bit more about how public perceptions of adoption might change, and specifically how your work, in a sense, what the goals of your work are. How do you hope maybe that your study that brings forward these different experiences, how that might perhaps impact not only public perceptions, but also the broader legal process around adoption, as well as understandings about children's rights and parents' rights?
You mean to say how what my research informed that, beside the public perception, what kind of changes, if I have got your question correctly?
Yes, because I think what you're doing is you're challenging this mainstream narrative, work in particular, by bringing in the voices of people who've experienced adoption in different capacities, that really challenges this narrative. So I was just wondering, in a sense, sort of what other ways to challenge this narrative, and in a sense, what you hope to almost, what you hope the effects of your work is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got your point. When I started, I didn't know where my research would head. But now I can see that my first goal would be to opening a space, creating an avenue to talk about the subject. Okay, because if we see the adoption trend in India, it was quite high up to, last 5 years. For last 5 years, it is again declining, and there are different reasons for that. May not be discussing here, but at least the number of children, those who are adopted, but every year that adoptive families are being formed. And now the situation is that after the law has changed, the number of children available for adoption is much lesser, 10 times probably less than the number of parents, Indian parents, waiting, are in the wait list to adopt a child. So that is an increasing trend. There is an interest and there is a demand for creating adoptive family. So when that is, it is increasing and there is a demand for that, my goal is let's talk about the subject, which is really silent in Indian context. Because when I started this research, I wanted to understand how adoption is practiced in India, but hardly there is anything available. The consistency of research is very, very low, and then the literature available is very, very less. The last research was probably in 2005, and then the book is written. So there is a dearth of literature, there is a dearth of scholarship to develop, build an understanding. So first thing is that to open up an avenue to talk about this subject. Second thing is that there is a huge need to do research on this subject. Mm. otherwise, how you would inform the policy mm-hmm. and practice? Because the policies, I didn't find anywhere, are informed by the practice. Okay, the policies are driven by, I would say, incident based. Okay, there are something which is not going well, you know, adoption as a program. So the policy, the changes in the policies take place. So it is not that, and at a policy level also, adoption is, it is portrayed or it's practiced as a program. Okay, as a program, it's a child protection program for protection of children out of parental care, which is completely different if you see this adoption as a family practice perspective. How the children, those who are who were there in the institution, now are coming to the family, and how that adoptive family has been practiced, how they are integrated with the family. And because if we have to acknowledge that the family, adoptive family, the formation of the adoptive family and biological family and other kind of family is different. The formation process is different. But what is happening when we don't talk about it, and the data says the adopted people, the adoptive parents, family, they treat our family just like a biological family that is there in mind. They discard kind of, the process is different, and we have to handle the things differently. Because the social worker, because we have some participant social worker, they say that one of the social worker quote is that Indian people want to raise their child as their own. Okay, when they said as their own, once they take the child, they don't want to kind of any kind of connection with the world the child comes from. So that is something again difficult, because the people, adoptive parents, do not have adequate information to respond to the child's questions. Okay, while doing that, so I think that is very much required. And what we are listening today is much, although people have started talking about it, we are listening much the adoptive parents' voice. In the narrative, I will also say there's the power narrative. Okay, the adoptive, we are listening to government's narrative, where the government is saying that this is the way you should do adoption. And there is a narrative coming from the family perspectives as well. You are listening to the adoptive parents' voice. There is a very mm-hmm. important aspect, who are the adopted children. Okay, because I also see now from a child rights perspective, okay, they are the children, whether good, whether bad, whether happy or sad, that are experiences. You have to create a platform to let people come out and share their experiences. Because I spoke to the adult adopted people, none of them are aware about there is anything existing in India where they can talk about it. But some of them, they brought their experiences or their knowledge about how adopted people talk. And they share their experiences in the outside India, like, context of European and American content. They say, look, that, adoption in America, so good. People know from where they have come from. Okay, that, they're open to contact their birth parents. So you get a sense. Okay, that is the kind of their requirement. Does not match with the their narrative does not match with the narrative of the parents. So that's something, unless until there is a platform, so those voices would never come. So my my humble effort would be to create a platform and through different forum to where I could invite people's stories, people's experiences, just to share largely, as I have done my research, just to share largely, see whether, either positive experience, negative experience, I don't know, but let people's experiences get shared and let people learn, because if there is a dearth of information, that there is a dearth of, real life experiences, that's why people do not have any authentic understanding how adoptive family lives in practice. Even for a prospective change, of the negative perspective which people have in general public have about adoptive family life that needs to be changed it could only be changed through the real life experiences. So I would certainly try to bring that changes through, by creating a forum or by creating a platform. I don't know, but that is definitely in my plan. And also in the academic field, certainly to share this is the research, this is a very potential area of research, and people should study more about this. Even if you see number of children adopted in India and proportionately very less than the population of Indian children, and also the children in the institutional care, because number is very, very less in compared to that. But still, even if less, they cannot be ignored. This, they are the very less children who will not study because there is a potential to study this subject. So I would certainly look forward to share this with relevant universities or academic field to invite people to, to study the subject more. Yes.
Yeah, your work really highlights the importance of bringing forward the voices and the experiences of people. And I wanted to thank you. I feel like I could talk to you all day about your really interesting work. But I just wanted to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us today about this fascinating work. And I wish you all the best as you continue to do this research and all your work on this really interesting topic.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.